I'm going to read in your hearing, excuse me, I'm going to read in your hearing now the entire last chapter of the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 22. We are rapidly approaching the end of this amazing book, but we are not there yet. My focus is going to be verses 10 to 12, although bulk of the message will be verse 10 and apply it near the end of the message, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. Revelation chapter 22, these 21 verses of God's word. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on an either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. In light of the verses that I want to try and open up before you this morning, with the help of the ultimate author of these verses and the entire Bible, God the Holy Spirit, but in light of the verses I want to try and open up before you this morning, especially the first of the three I'm referring to, verses 10 to 12 of Revelation 22, verses that I hope to open up to your edification and instruction, but I believe it is important for me to declare something before you. I may have already done this, though to be absolutely sure that I have declared this would require me to remember all that I have said personally or from this pulpit, and I can't remember what I said 5 minutes after I got up this morning. Something only the Lord has infallible knowledge of, but not me. But I believe it is important for me to state what I am and why I am what I am before looking at these verses we have reached in Revelation 22, especially verse 10, but it applies to verses 11 and 12 as well. Truth that I fear has, to a sobering extent, been lost in our generation. Even in the minds and thinking of many who profess to be Christian, which goes a long way in explaining the reason for the abysmal condition of the world at the present time. What do I want you to know as I begin? I am a convinced historicist. I am a convinced historicist. Now, what do I mean by saying I am a convinced historicist? For if you don't know what I mean by the word historicist, how can you see if you are one or make sense of what I am about to declare before you this morning? Many, even many professing believers, are not historicists because they are unable or unwilling or both to face the limits of true science and be looked upon as heretics by the leaders of the cults of scientism and evolutionism and use their incorrect understanding of science to deny and reject what the Bible clearly and repeatedly shows itself to be. Which is why John is told not to do something with what he has been given to write in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. But by historicist, I mean, I am a redeemed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that believes that the Bible, the unique and only written word of God to man, is what it clearly shows and reveals itself to be, which is why the Lord's holy and heavenly angel tells John there is something he is not to do in verse 10 of Revelation 22. What does the Bible clearly show and repeatedly show itself to be, which is why I am a convinced historicist? The Bible clearly and repeatedly shows itself to be a book of actual and factual human history. By actual, I mean it infallibly and inerrantly records things that took place in human history. By factual, I mean it infallibly and inerrantly records these things about human history that you would know nothing about unless God was pleased to reveal them to you in His written word, the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible is an actual and factual record of human history. Selective, yes. It has to be, or it'd be a lot bigger. The Holy Bible is an actual and factual record of human history, regardless of how it records this actual and factual human history in the three primary ways it does. First, be it chronologically, as in the actual and factual days of Genesis chapter 1. And that's one of the reasons why the church is so confused and confusing today. No one should be in a pulpit in America or the world that denies that the days of Genesis 1 are actual days. They're heretics. They're false teachers. They do not belong teaching in the Church of Christ, yet how many do? The Bible is a chronological record of man's history. Second, be it prophetically, as in the Old Testament prophets, and regardless as to whether these prophecies are about the Lord's sovereign disposition over nations, or the important prophetic minutiae his prophets reveal about where the Savior of the world would be born. That's fascinating study. The men at the foot of the cross knew nothing about the fact that they were fulfilling the prophecy about what would be done with his clothes. And yet they fulfilled it. That's why open theism is a heresy. What's open theism? The idea that God just reacts to history as it unfolds. That's heresy. what would be done with his clothes as Jesus was hanging upon his unique cross for the sins of his people, wherever and whenever they have lived on this fallen world. Or third, whether that record of time is chronological, prophetic, or dare I say apocalyptically, as seen in the powerful pictures of actual human history that John is given to record for your benefit and instruction in the book of Revelation. But because unbelieving rebel men do not want to see or believe this truth about the scriptures, not just the book of Revelation, in a number of different ways, they have done with the Bible and not just the book of Revelation what the angel tells John not to do with the book of Revelation. What does the angel tell John not to do with the book of Revelation? Verse 10 of Revelation 22, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Friends, what is the book of Revelation? It is a book of prophecy, revealing historical events apocalyptically, meaning Revelation reveals actual human events before they take place that can be laid over the events they are picturing after they have taken place, showing to you, believer, in a powerful way again that the Lord who has saved you and redeemed you is the Lord of human history. All of it, from paradise lost in the Garden of Eden to paradise improved and restored in the new heavens and the new earth for the believing redeemed bride of Christ. Remember something, believer. All things were made by him and for him. All things. And one of those things, friends, is history. One of those things is history. Your history, my history, and all who have, are, and will yet live on this earth. Because who holds the keys of hell and of death? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is a selective, infallible, and inerrant record of this reality. From Genesis 1, verse 1, to the end of the book of Revelation, behold, I come quickly, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And as I briefly referred to above and mentioned last Sunday, the purpose of science is not to determine the origin of man, for that is not its purpose. Regardless of how many misuse science, regardless of how popular this misuse of science is, because when you think you can use science to determine the origin of man and his purpose on the earth, you are a cultist. You've morphed science into scientism and the wonder of the created order into evolutionism. And they have become and continue to be popular in our depraved and blind generation. But notice verse 10 of Revelation 22. What is John told not to do with what he has been given by the Lord's angel to write? I've already mentioned it. You know what it is. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Seal not. It's a command. It's an imperative that could easily be applied to the entirety of Scripture. Seal it not up. Seal not the Word of God written, the Holy Bible, and the fact that John is told not to do this it is being done in pseudo-Christian America. It has been and it continues to be done in pseudo-Christian America in a variety of ways, showing how false the idea is that the United States or any nation on the world or in the world today is a Christian nation. I'll give examples of this in a moment that show the truth of what I have just said and would offend many in the churches today. I hope it does not offend you, for the only Christian nation in the world today is the true confessing church of the Lord Jesus Christ. made up of believers in all the non-Christian nations of the world who do not seal up the prophecy of this book, because you know the time is near, and you know the blessing of knowing and believing that time, all time, past time, present time, future time, present time, including all the days written for you, are written in His book before they come to pass. But what does the angel of the Lord, the holy angel sent from the too often mocked and rejected real third heaven, where God alone knows how many unfallen angels? How many unfallen angels and souls of the redeemed who have physically died and are waiting for their resurrection bodies are presently praising the Lord, who has saved them from their many sins, as in the case of the souls of the redeemed, or kept them from rebelling against Him, as in the case of the elect angels? Even that seventh angel praising the Lord as he waits for the command of his Lord to pour out the seventh vial of God's wrath into the air, bringing history as we presently know it to its prophesied conclusion. But notice three things about verse 10. First, what does this angel of the Lord tell John not to do? You know it already, but it's important to stress it. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Second, what does the angel declare to John that the sayings he is not to seal up are? Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And third, why is he told not to do this? And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. No, what does it mean to not seal up the sayings of the prophecy of this book? What does it mean to seal something? Well, if you were to look up some of the verses, not all of them, in which this word is used, you would read this, Matthew 27, verse 66. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. An official mark or symbol of the mighty Roman Empire was put on this stone in some way, indicating that no one was to break this seal or enter this tomb. Even as a letter can be sealed with an official mark that only those authorized could break to read the contents. The sepulcher that the lifeless body of the Lord Jesus Christ was sealed, meaning some form of official marking or device was put on the sepulcher, meaning that no one was to break the seal and enter the tomb, the grave where the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was laying for 3 days and three nights. But I ask you, did Jesus care about that seal? Did Jesus care about this Roman seal after the 3 days and three nights it ended? Did the angels of God? No. No one, even you, could have prevented the Lord from breaking that seal and rising from the dead. And so here you have that word used with the negative, seal not. No one, even you, John, even the beloved apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, even you, John, has the authority or right to seal up the prophecy of this book, to hinder it or prevent it being read and understood. The Lord has told me to reveal these things to you, and you are to write them down, John, and you're not to seal them. Sealing something has the idea of authority behind the one doing the sealing. For who sealed the truth that Jesus should be listened to, confessed, and followed, regardless of the cost of doing so in this brief life? God the Father. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God the Father hath sealed. This is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased. It's folly not to listen to the one God Almighty has sealed as the only Savior of this sinful world. So it's equally foolish to seal something that the Lord, through his holy angel, has told John he does not want sealed. Seal not. But in radical, glorious contrast to what John is told not to seal, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What is John told to do with the apocalyptically revealed pompous pronouncements of the popes of Rome? Revelation 10, verse 4, "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those sayings which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." Believer, the ex cathedra pronouncements of the man of sin in Rome, sitting in his high chair, are to be sealed up, meaning they have absolutely no authority in a true believer's life. They should not be read, they should not be believed. Where does the authority for sealing these unbiblical and false statements come from? A voice from heaven. God is telling you, believer, what to do with the unbiblical teachings of the popes of Rome. Seal them up and don't read or concern yourself with these false, unbiblical pronouncements of the Antichrist. But here, in radical contrast, in verse 10 of Revelation 22, again, what is John told not to do? And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. John is not to seal up what the Lord Jesus Christ had given him for his churches until he returns. The prophecy I've been pleased to give you about my sovereign oversight and knowledge of human history until I return. It's not to be sealed up. It's not to be sealed up as if I do not want it to be read in the churches. No, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And since the angel of God tells the human author of Revelation, John, not to seal up the sayings of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, what should no one else try and do? What should no one else try and do? Seal them up, or want them sealed up. Anyone who does this or wants them sealed up is rebelling against the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures. And friends, that's not a wise thing to do. It's not a wise thing to do in light of who the Lord God has at his command, all his holy angels that will have no problem removing all such wicked fools from God's earth when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Matthew 13, verses 41 and 40 and 41, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." Friends, how offensive is it to God? How offensive is it to God that there are those who have hindered, or worse, stopped the proclamation of his word? How offensive is that to him? Of which Revelation is but the last book. Seal not. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Anyone who hinders or prevents the truths of the saying and the prophecy of this book from being available to not just the believing churches, but all mankind, although only true believers want to read and believe and understand the sayings of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. But friends, what is the book of Revelation a part of? What's it a part of? It is the last book of the Holy Bible, the unique and only written word of God. When men have and sadly continue to hinder both believers and non-believers from reading and studying the Bible for themselves, what are they doing? They are sealing up. They are sealing up, maybe not with the authority of a government official, but they are sealing up a book that the Lord has said, seal not. Believer, with this command from this holy angel of God to the Apostle John, you have a way, you have a means, you have a yardstick, a tool to determine if you are in the presence of a tyrant, if you're in the presence of a persecutor of Christians, or someone who shows by their mockery and indifference to the truth of the Word of God and the book of Revelation that they do not know or believe what the book of Revelation is. It's a part of the written word of God. Truth I will seek to open up under my second point for this 10th verse. But don't rush over what this angel tells John not to do. And I haven't been rushing over it, have I? Don't rush over what this angel tells John not to do. Seal not the words of the prophecy of this book. The wonder of this. The wonder of God not only revealing the sayings of the prophecy of this book to John, but friends, think of it from this perspective for a moment. Think of it from this perspective. John had to write down what was being revealed to him so that it could not be sealed up. He had to write down what was being revealed to him. He had to write it down while a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. John couldn't say to one of the guards, I need time to go to Staples and pick up some more pen and papers because this angel is giving me these amazing things. And man, papyrus is hard to come by in this mine. I need time to go and find it and find a pen and find the ink. And yet he found all these things. He was able to write these things down. And you can't imagine how hard the conditions in the mines are on pen and paper. Oh, the wonder of it. John not only wrote down what is revealed to him, but who supplied him with the papyrus? Who supplied him with the tools he needed to write it down and the ink that didn't come in refills? Not only this, how did what he wrote get off the Isle of Patmos to the churches it was written for? And people doubt the sovereignty of God over all things. The fact that you have the book of Revelation in your hands today, believer, is a testimony to the sovereignty of God. But as I said, don't rush over what this holy messenger of the Lord tells John not to do with what he has been given. Seal not. For if John was told not to seal the sayings of the prophecy of this book, and he was, what does this say about anyone who thinks they have the right to prohibit or ban the distribution of the Word of God? Because Revelation is just the last book in the Bible. Anyone who thinks he or she has the right to prohibit anyone reading the book of Revelation, which is a part of God's unique and only written word, is a tyrant. They're tyrants. What's that fat boy over in North Korea? Kim Jong-un? He's a tyrant because he will not let the word of God have free reign in his country. Seal not. Why do you think the popes of Rome have no problem with the incorrect understandings of Revelation as seen in futurism and preterism? Because if people saw the historical accuracy of the apocalyptic book of Revelation pointing to the false papal system, they would have to face what the popes of Rome have banned. Have banned from being personally read and studied during the centuries of their tyranny. And friends, that's a fact of history. The popes of Rome made reading the Bible a capital offense. And what does the angel of the Lord say to John? Seal not. People that doubt that the popes are head of a Christ-denying Antichrist system, if not the Antichrist of Scripture, refuse to face the facts of history. What did the man of sin in Rome prohibit the people from reading, who was murdered by the lackeys of the tyrant King Henry VIII for wanting the Bible in a form that the plowboy could read and understand it for himself? Have you ever heard of William Tyndale? Seal not the prophecy of the word, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. My people can't read the Bible in their own language. I'm going to labor so that they can. I want him dead. What are they doing? They're sealing up what the Lord does not want sealed up, his word. Anyone who opposes the personal reading and study of the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, is showing that they are in the employ of the devil. For only a devil-deceived man would want to hinder anyone from personally reading, studying, and understanding the Word of God, of which Revelation is the last book, for themselves. Seal not. And anyone who ridicules someone who reads and believes the Bible and the book of Revelation, treating them, telling them it is a myth and legend no different than Aesop's fables, is a blind tool of the father of lies as well. May the Lord have mercy on them before they stand before him. When a holy angel of the Lord tells John not to seal up the sayings of the prophecy of this book, what should everyone be a diligent student of? What should everyone be a diligent student of? The book of Revelation. Not just the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible that helps you understand the last book of the Bible correctly. And friends, please don't be deceived by the lie that this is a Christian country, or that my native Canada is a Christian country, lest I offend anyone American here this morning. Please do not be deceived that this is a Christian country. For there is one thing a truly Christian country would not do. It would not prohibit the correct reading and explanation of the only infallible book of human history from Genesis to Revelation that mankind has been given, the Holy Bible. But friends, let's be honest. What is not allowed to be correctly taught in the public schools of America today? What? The Bible, yeah. It's prohibited. Could I go to any public school and say I'm going to do an accurate exposition of the historical book called the Holy Bible, the history book, the Bible that explains where man came from and why he is the way he is and what's going to happen at the end of time? You know the answer. Seal not up. Every public school and every public school teacher who mocks and rejects that the Bible should be taught in the public schools of America are disobeying God. But friends, not only the public schools, what is put in the wrong section in all the public libraries in America using the Dewey Decimal System of book classification? What is put in the wrong section in every public library in America today? The Holy Bible. Because the Holy Bible does not belong in the religion section of all the libraries in America. Treating this infallible revelation of human history as if it was similar to all the false religions that men have developed to deny what the Bible teaches. The Holy Bible, the Word of God, the book of Revelation belong in the history section of every public library because that is what the Bible is. It's the history of redemption. It's the history of how man, fallen in sin in the Garden of Eden, is redeemed through the precious once-shed blood of Christ. It's history. And every public library in America is denying that by not putting the Bible front and center in the history section of the library. The Bible is the only infallible book of human history that man has in his possession, and any view of human history that disagrees with it is wrong, regardless of who teaches it. When people, even believers, have no problem with the Holy Bible being put in the religion section of the public libraries and not the history section of every public library, it shows you how the command to not seal up the book of Revelation is not being followed in America. I want a good book of history. I want an accurate book of history. Start reading the Bible. Start believing what it records about human history from Genesis to Revelation. And friends, if every Bible in every public library in America had legs, it would immediately jump off the shelf it is incorrectly on and recatalog itself as the first book in the history section. The first book anyone who wants a right understanding of human history should be reading, studying, and believing. Oh, the errors that the devil was able to deceive dying sinners with in the 1800s. Not just the false view of human history taught by dispensationalism, but the Dewey Decimal System as well. I ask you, do you believe that the Bible is the book of infallible human history? Do you believe it? For when men say they will not believe what the Bible teaches about historical events until it is supported by the discoveries of archaeology, they are just showing that they do not believe what the Bible is, the only infallible record of human history that God has been pleased to give us. Now, does this mean that you cannot profit from someone who has written about history that the Bible doesn't record? No, but if what they say happened, as for example, the mythical ages of the universe, and how long man has been on the earth, they are wrong. As I said before, and I repeat it because you will be subjected to this lie constantly in pagan America, but the purpose of science is not to determine the age of the universe or how long a man has been on the earth. God's already told you that in his Bible. When men give ages that disagree with the chronology of the Bible, they are cultists, following the demonic cults of scientism and evolutionism. May God have mercy on them before they die and meet the Lord of time, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, how truly dark America is and continues to be by sealing up the words of the prophecy of this book, by not allowing the Bible and the book of Revelation to be taught in the schools where it should be taught, in the history class. For second, what does the angel tell John not to seal up? Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What are the sayings of this book, the book of Revelation? They are prophecy. What is biblical prophecy? It is revealing things that God has decreed in eternity to take place in time before they take place in time for the edification and instruction of his believing people. Those willing to see, believe, and rejoice in the truth that you see and believe that the Lord who saved you is the Lord of human history. For he can and does reveal events of actual human history before they happen for your edification, believer, for your instruction, believer, and yes, for your protection, believer. Why do I say protection? Believe what the book of Revelation is and what so many of the verses of the Bible are, prophecy of things God is revealing to you before they take place, and you are protected from all the false, sadly popular and dangerous views of human history popular in pagan, unbelieving America today. What was John specifically told not to seal up? And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What book? The book of Revelation, the last book of the Holy Bible that is filled with prophecies. God wants you to see and believe, believer. John was given apocalyptic prophecies of real human history. The last 2,000 years and counting may be confusing and perplexing to us, especially the last 18 months and counting, but they are not to the Lord of history, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his angel to his servant John to reveal to John apocalyptically the things that must take place. How can people, even professing believers, mock and ridicule the truth that the Bible is a record of actual human history? an infallible record of what took place in the beginning, but also revealing how many things that took place before they took place, especially concerning the one for whom time exists, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a testimony to how constant our intake of the Scriptures and a right understanding of them must be. They are a record of real human history, not the many myths so popular today, but also prophetic history. What do I mean by prophetic history? God revealing things that are going to take place before they take place, as he does apocalyptically in the book of Revelation. Do you believe that Genesis 5 gives you a record of your ancestors? Do you believe that? Not Lucy, not Cro-Magnon man, but do you believe that Genesis 5 gives you an infallible record of your ancestors? I may not know the name of my great-grandfathers, and I don't, but I know the names of those much older than them that I'm related to. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, and Jephthah. Those are my ancestors. Because God has given me that genealogy for my edification and my instruction. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the prophecies the Lord gives you about the nations in the Bible? Who would have believed that mighty Babylon, at the height of its power, would be destroyed forever? The Bible records it before it took place. The Bible records that the nation of Egypt would survive the passage of the rising and falling of other nations more powerful than it is in a weakened condition. What exists today, friends? Egypt in a weakened condition. John is given apocalyptic pictures of history that he would not be around to experience because they cover actual human history from the time he wrote the book of Revelation until Christ returns for third. Why is John told not to seal up the sayings of the prophecy of this book? And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What a blessing it must have been for John to receive the book of Revelation, even as he was probably overwhelmed by what was revealed to him. Even as Daniel was centuries before when he was given his now fully fulfilled 70-week prophecy revealing when the Messiah would come in the fullness of time. For what would John have known and believed that the Lord, he was imprisoned for confessing and following, is the Lord of history? There on the Isle of Patmos, John is shown by the Lord he confesses and is suffering for that his Lord has not taken his hand off of human history. He reveals that fact to John apocalyptically. And dare I say that two of the most popular views of what I see as incorrect understandings of the book of Revelation have sealed up the sayings of this book. To how many people? Because how many are still waiting for the majority of these prophecies to be fulfilled due to their incorrect understanding of Daniel's 70-week prophecy? The last 2,000 years and counting have not been and are not a giant parenthesis between the 69th and 70th weeks of Daniel's fully fulfilled prophecy. Because God didn't expect Old Covenant Israel to reject their Messiah. Daniel's 70-week prophecy was given to reveal when the promised Messiah would come in the fullness of time and what he would fully accomplish when he came, the saving of his people, whether Jew or Gentile, regardless of when they were born in time or where they were born in time. Yet how many in the churches today think that the 70th week is still ahead rather than millennia behind us? And I have talked to believers who I don't think believe in the false teaching of dispensationalism, but who talk as if there is still a 7-year period still ahead for the fulfillment of the book of Revelation. For how many Is the book of Revelation sealed up because they are bringing an incorrect understanding of it to it? For how many has the book of Revelation been sealed up because due to false teachings of preterism, they think John was having things revealed to him about the fall of Jerusalem? Truth Jesus had already revealed in the Gospels as a preview of what would take place for all non-believers when he returns. For the unfolding of actual history can be overlaid on the prophecies that John was given, not twisting them, not contorting them like a young child trying to fit a square peg in a round hole and not being able to. No. John has specific things revealed to him, identifying the times referred to. Don't seal them up because the passage of actual human history will show what they are referring to. Don't seal them up for the passage of actual human time for the last 2,000 years and counting will show you that the last 2,000 years and counting is important to the Lord of history. Something both the futurist and preterist both fail to see correctly. As I said on Wednesday night, one of the greatest temporary victories of the father of lies, the devil, is how he has deceived people into thinking that the chronological history of mankind given in the Bible is false, rather than the only accurate record you have of the human history in your possession. For ask, how many in the churches, even in evangelical churches, even in fundamentalist churches, even in Reformed churches, even in Reformed Baptist churches. Ask them, how old is the earth? Ask them, how long has man been on the earth? How many will show by the answer they give that they are basing their understanding of time on the dangerous teachings of the cults of scientism and evolutionism and not the Word of God alone? Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of history, and that will enable you to do what his angel commands John to do in verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, friends, this is one of the most challenging verses in the book of Revelation. This is one of the most challenging verses in the book of Revelation. Unless you believe that the Lord is Lord of human history. Why do I say this? Because these are commands. These are commands. These are all imperatives. What is the angel telling John to do? He can't be telling John to command people to be unjust and filthy. A holy angel wouldn't do that. The angel is not telling John that he has the authority to go up to an unjust or filthy person and say, I command you to continue to be unjust and filthy. Neither is he being told to go up to a believer and say, I command you to continue to be righteous and holy. Now, in saying this, this is not what John is being told to do. I'm not saying that filthy and unjust non-believers are not to be warned powerfully from the Word of God, how eternally dangerous they're going on in their unjust and filthy lives are, or that it is wrong to exhort your brothers and sisters in Christ seeking to live righteous and holy lives by the enabling grace of God to continue to do so. But in the case of both, let the unjust and filthy be unjust and filthy still. Let the righteous and holy be righteous still. I command you to let them be whatever they are showing themselves to be. Unjust and filthy or righteous and holy. I command you to let them go on in the lifestyle they are choosing to live, not foolishly thinking you have the power, the right, or the ability to change either. Even as you warn the unjust and filthy non-believer through the word of truth. Or even as you encourage the righteous and holy believer through the same word. But who is going to show you and all mankind the folly of continuing to live unjust and filthy lives? Who is going to show you and all mankind the blessing and benefit of living a righteous and holy life by His enabling grace? The Lord of history is going to show you that. The Lord of history is going to show you that. The Lord Jesus Christ. And when is He going to show you that, brethren? When He returns. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. What John and you are being told is, remember and realize that the Lord you confess, if you confess Him, is Lord over human history, all of it. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still, even as you are hoping and praying as you live for Christ, that he or she will be delivered from their warped and depraved thinking, that living for nothing but the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is wisdom and not supreme folly. Why? Because you know what is yet ahead in human history. What is yet ahead in human history? Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I don't have the ability to stop a person from being the person they are and acting the way they do because of who they are. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of history, does. And He will display that power when He calls all mankind before Him on that great day that is ahead for all of us, regardless of who we are, righteous and holy by the grace of God, are still going on in filthiness and unjust actions. And on that great day of human history, the day of our Lord's final and irrevocable judgment, the folly of living an unjust life, the folly of living a filthy life, the blessing of living a holy life, the blessing of living a righteous life will be seen by all who are there. On that great day, oh friends, think of it. Try and picture it, the folly of living an unjust life, of living a filthy life, of living an impenitent, unbelieving, sinful life will be plain for all to see. Even as the wisdom of living a holy and righteous life by the grace of God and to the glory of God will be seen for all to see as well. Because what will this most certain day of human history reveal about you and about me? What will that day reveal about you and about me? Will this day, will this revealed day of history, revealed for you in the book of Revelation, will this revealed day of history for all mankind reveal you to be a saved, wise, redeemed, blood-bought sheep of the Lord, or a foolish, lost, reprobate goat? Friends, there is no third option. On that great day, there will only be two groups of mankind, one on the right hand of our Lord and one on the left. Those who have chosen to continue in their unbelieving, unjust, filthy lives, and those who, by the grace of God, who have come to see that living for the Lord Jesus Christ, by His grace alone, is the only life that can truly be called living. There is no third group, friends. You are a goat or a sheep. And that great day yet ahead of us will reveal who you are and who I am and who all mankind is. And that separation will be by the Lord of history, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, by His grace, may we be on the right side of history when that day comes to pass. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, your grace is great to open our blinded eyes to the truth of who you are, the God of history. To open our eyes to the truth that in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And oh, how we would pray that the many we see around us living as this, as if this was all unimportant, would come to see how important it is, even as you have enabled us to see this by your grace. Have mercy on them, Lord. Show them their great need of your Son, the Savior of sinners. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us finish now by turning to one final hymn.